46. Why has Christ commanded us to address God as our Father? To awaken in us at the very beginning of our prayer that childlike reverence and trust toward God which should be basic to our prayer. God has become our Father through Christ and will much less deny us what we ask of him in faith than our fathers would refuse us earthly things. Why is there added in heaven? These words teach us not to think of God's heavenly majesty in an earthly manner and to expect from his almighty power all things we need for body and soul. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, where do you turn in times of need? To whom do you look for help when you're faced with trouble or sorrow in your life? Whom do you call upon when you're anxious or afraid or depressed? In Psalm 50, the Lord reveals himself as the Mighty One, God the Lord. He tells his people Israel, I am God, your God. And God commands his people, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. And you shall glorify me. In a similar way, in Psalm 91, the Lord makes himself known as a refuge and a fortress of his people. He promises to allow us to take refuge under his wings, even promises that his angels will guard us. The Lord says, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. We see that the Lord our God teaches us to call on him. He teaches us to draw near to him in prayer. And he promises that when we draw near to the throne of grace, he will grant mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Yet a basic question remains. How are we to approach God? When we seek God's face in prayer, how are we to address him? When we speak to God, by what name are we to call him? We realize that saying, hey you, would be rather disrespectful. So do we address him as dear Lord or as gracious God? What's the Bible teach us about this? In the Bible, God's people address him in different ways. When Abraham prays for the inhabitants of Sodom, he addresses God as Adonai, which can be translated as Lord or Master. When Elijah called on God at Mount Carmel in a contest with the Baal prophets, he addressed him as Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yahweh, or Lord in capital letters, as it's translated in our Bibles, is a reference to the covenant name of God. It stresses God's faithfulness to his promises. Most often in the Psalms, God's people call him either Yahweh or Lord or God. And beloved, it's not wrong to address the Lord in prayer using different titles that show forth our love and our respect for him. We can begin our prayer by saying, Merciful God, or Gracious Father, or Dear Lord. Yet when Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, Jesus taught them something different. He said to them, pray then like this, Our Father in heaven. In our sermon this afternoon, we're going to focus on that manner of address. We're going to see how rich we are to be able to call on the name of the Lord in this way. I preach you the word of God under the following theme. Christ teaches us to truly draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer. We can draw near because of our Father's great love for us. And we can draw near because of our Father's powerful ability to provide for us. Christ teaches us to address God as our Father in heaven. This is a remarkable step forward in the history of redemption. In the Old Covenant, God was not commonly addressed as our Father. To Israel, the Lord made himself known as their covenant God. When Moses was commanded to deliver Israel from Egypt, he asked God what to say if the people asked who he was. The Lord made himself known as, I am who I am. He made himself known as the God of their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God taught Israel to know him as Yahweh, the Lord, their covenant God. By entering into a covenant with his people, God showed forth his grace and steadfast love to them. By delivering them from Egypt and bringing them to the promised land, God revealed his mercy and his faithfulness to his chosen ones. Still, Israel did not see the Lord as their Father. When they appeared before him at Mount Sinai, they were afraid of him. Israel saw God as the exalted Creator. They saw God as sovereign Lord, as ruler over all. They saw God as a mighty King. Through the covenant of love, God entered into an intimate relationship with his people. But Israel did not learn to know God as their Father. The Old Testament makes it clear that God considered himself to be the father of his people. When God commanded Moses to deliver Israel from slavery in Egypt, he told them, "You shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my firstborn son. Let my son go, that he may serve me." In Deuteronomy 1, Moses speaks about the Lord's care for Israel as they sojourned in the wilderness. He says to his people, "You have seen how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place." The fact that the Lord loved Israel as a father loves his son is especially clear in the prophets. In Jeremiah 31, God speaks to his exiled people saying, "I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn son." Later in Jeremiah 31, we see the Lord reminiscing about his covenant people. He asks, "Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do remember him still. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord." Despite Israel's continual waywardness, God still loved his people as a father loves his children. Despite this, it's clear that Israel did not relate to the Lord as their father. The intimate relationship that children can have with parents did not develop between Israel and the Lord. Israel's sin so often got in the way. God's people were unfaithful to the covenant. The close communion they could have had with the Lord was often not there. Instead, God's people often turned to the gods of the other nations, pledging their allegiance to them. When they turned to the other gods, the Lord would often chasten them. He brought hardships on them to call them to repentance and to life again. Israel learned to know the Lord as a righteous judge, and at times also as a mighty deliverer. But they didn't really learn to know God as their Father. It's not until the coming of Jesus Christ in human flesh that God's people came to know God as their Father. The Gospels make it clear that Jesus knew God to be his Father. As a 12-year-old boy, Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and after the Passover feast, he remained in the temple while his parents departed. When his parents finally located him there after 3 days of searching, Christ said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" In the same way, at the beginning of his public ministry, Christ refers to the temple as my Father's house when he cleansed it of the money changers. Throughout his ministry, Jesus again and again referred to God as my Father. Jesus made it clear that through him we may call God our Father. He made it known to his disciples in a beautiful way in John 14. In verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In verse 7, he said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Philip and the other disciples simply did not understand what Jesus was saying to them. Philip spoke on behalf of all the disciples and responded, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus replied, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. We need to pause and carefully examine those words, beloved. Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Here Jesus reveals a profound truth. It is that God, our Father, has manifested his great love for his people in sending his dearly loved Son into the world. Please remember, God is spirit. God is not a physical being. When Jesus talks about seeing the Father, he's not talking about seeing with our physical eyes. Jesus is talking about knowing God. His point in John 14 is that it's in him that we may learn to know God as we've never known him before. So what did Jesus mean? Well, Israel knew the Lord as their faithful covenant God, as a God who was loyal, reliable, as one who kept his promises. But they didn't really know of God's passionate love for them. They didn't know of how his heart was stirred by them, as a father's heart is invested in his children. Yet God's great love for his people would soon be made clear. In love, God had sent his dearly loved Son into this world. He sent Jesus to save his people from their sins. God loved his people so much, he was willing to offer his only Son as a sacrifice for their sins on the cross. Through the shedding of Christ's blood on the cross, God would claim his people as his own once again. He would become their Father, and they would become his sons and daughters. In John's gospel, Jesus is revealed as the Son of God. If Jesus is God's Son, then God is his Father. Jesus points out that intimate link that existed between him and the Father. In John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. The reason why John reveals God as Jesus' Father is to make clear our relationship with God. You see, beloved, God has become our Father through Christ. After his resurrection, Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You know why Jesus teaches us to address God as our Father at the beginning of our prayers? He does so because he wants us to trust God, just like a little child implicitly trusts his daddy. Jesus uses that close parent-child relationship to model how close we can be to our Father in heaven. God, our Father, loves us with a deep and abiding love, just as a dad or a mom loves you, their child. God our Father wants us to know him as someone who truly cares for us. He wants us to enter into close communion with him. He wants us to share our heart and our life with him. Why should we trust God will be willing to enter into intimate fellowship with us? Why should you talk to God about the things that are happening in your life? Why should you share your joys and your sorrows with the Lord? Why should you talk with him about your deepest fears? Tell him about all your feelings and all your desires? It's because in Christ, God has become your Father. He loves you more than you'll ever be able to understand. In 1 John 3, John talks about this. He talks about the great love that the Father has lavished on us. When we were dead in our transgressions and sins, God grabbed a hold of us and he made us his own. He adopted us as his children. He gave us a place in his family. And beloved, it's not because we were so good or so lovable, simply because God is so gracious and so loving. Jesus taught us to address God as our Father in heaven. He did it so that right at the beginning of our prayers, we might be reminded of the wonderful relationship we may be in with God. He did it to assure us that by his grace in Christ, we're God's children. Jesus taught us to call God our Father, to awaken that childlike reverence and trust in our hearts. The Lord wants us to feel safe, to feel secure, to feel loved. By addressing God as our Father, we learn to trust that God will care for us. He'll shelter us under his wings. He'll provide us with all we need for body and soul. And so it's really important not just to address our prayers to our gracious God or to our dear Lord. Jesus teaches us to call God our Father, to draw us into intimate communion with him. Brings us to our second point. We can draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer because of his powerful ability to provide for us. Jesus taught us to address God as our Father in heaven. And it's significant that he added those words, in heaven. These words also reveal something important about God to us. They teach us about the majesty and the power and the glory of our God. They help us to trust that our Father is not just willing, but he's also able to help us in times of need. By adding the words in heaven to how we address God, Jesus teaches us to consider who God is. See, beloved, there's such a vast difference between us living on earth and our Father residing in heaven. We're weak and sinful creatures made from the dust of the earth. Our Father is the powerful creator of heaven and earth. He's seated on the throne as Almighty King. He's robed in glory and majesty. He's worshipped and glorified by all the angels and the heavenly host. Our Father holds the whole world in his hands. He rules over all the nations. He exercises dominion over all the peoples. And so by adding the words in heaven to the address of our prayers, Christ teaches us to think of God's majesty and of his power. He wants to remind us we're serving the King of all the earth, one who hears, one who's able to answer all our prayers. Now, beloved, there can be times in our lives when we doubt whether or not God truly hears and answers our prayers. There's times when the trials and the sorrows of life overwhelm us. Sometimes we get to the point where we think it's just simply senseless to pray. We've done it over and over again. And we've come to the conclusion that God's not willing or else he's not able to provide our needs. We can become so distressed we no longer even know how to address God in our prayers. It's especially in times like that. It's good to pray in the manner Jesus taught us to pray, to call on the Lord with the words, Our Father in heaven. See, beloved, that's also what the Lord Jesus did in the times when he was most troubled in life. Just think about the terrible suffering that our Lord went through in the last days of his life on this earth. He knew he was going to suffer and die. His soul was exceedingly sorrowful. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ prayed to his Father, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done." Christ prayed a second time, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And he prayed a third time in the same way. Christ's prayers did not mean his suffering was removed. In fact, the opposite happened. His betrayer came along with a great crowd with swords and clubs. And yet, by praying, Christ was strengthened to deal with the calamity that came upon him. He had full confidence in God's power. He knew his Father was able to deliver him. We see this in that Jesus commanded his disciples to put away their swords. Jesus said to them, "Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels?" Our Savior knew God could save him. He also knew that he needed to suffer and die for our sake. And so Jesus submitted himself to doing his Father's will. There's only one time when Christ does not address God as his Father. That's during the 3 hours while Jesus was hanging on the cross. During those hours, the Father forsook him. He poured out his wrath upon Christ. Christ had to bear God's wrath against the sins of all of mankind. At the end of that time, Christ prayed, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And yet, having completed his task, Christ once more confesses his faith and trust in his Father in heaven. Just before he died, Christ called out to God and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Beloved, there will never be a time in our lives when the situation is so bad that we cannot address God as our Father in heaven. You see, through his suffering and death, Christ has restored us to a position of sonship. We are God's children, and God is our Father. We belong to the family of God. God has promised to hear and answer our prayers for Christ's sake. Our Lord teaches this in John 16:23. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Our Heavenly Father will grant us what we ask of him in Jesus' name because Jesus has restored us to fellowship with him. He's able to do that as Almighty God. He's willing as a faithful Father. Our scripture reading from Matthew 7 also assures us of the fact that our Heavenly Father will hear and answer our prayers. Christ says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened." Immediately after saying that, Christ continued his teaching by emphasizing that our Father gives good gifts to his children. Jesus compares earthly fathers to our Heavenly Father. He notes that if your son asks you for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. If he asks you for a fish, you're not going to give him a serpent. And Christ asks, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Therefore, beloved, at the times when we're deeply hurting because of problems and difficulties in life, we know where we can turn. We know where we must turn. Christ commands us to go to God in prayer. And he teaches us to address God as our Father in heaven, because that's who God is. He is our Father through the redeeming work of Christ. He dwells in majesty and glory, having dominion over this world and all that's in it. We can put our trust in Him. We can depend on the Lord to answer our prayers. That's what He's promised. So let's follow the direction the Lord Jesus gave us. Bring your deepest struggles, your biggest worries before your Father in prayer. Ask Him for grace and strength to deal with the difficult situation that you're in. And then also expect all good things from His fatherly hand. In Romans 8, the Apostle Paul makes clear that we're not on our own when we pray. As children of God, we're also led by the Spirit of God. He's the one who enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. See, beloved, of ourselves, we'd never go to God for help. But the Spirit leads and directs us in our prayers. In Romans 8, 26, Paul says that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Let that give you confidence to go to our Father in prayer. Even in times we don't know exactly what to say, our Father will understand, and He'll certainly care for us and provide our needs. Beloved, it's our Lord Jesus Christ who taught us to call on God as our Father in heaven. We're allowed to draw near to God through His redeeming work, because Christ has restored us to our relationship with God. He's restored us to the position of being God's sons and daughters. In Him, our Father's love and mercy have been revealed. For God so loved us that He sent His Son to die for us. That's what gives us confidence in our Father's continued care for our lives. As Paul writes in Romans 8:32, He did not spare His own Son for us, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? We are privileged to address God as our Father in heaven. Let's confidently draw near to Him in prayer, and let's expect His rich blessing in our lives. Amen.